The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live, the pandemic edition. I guess for a few weeks now, they've all been pandemic editions. Hey, thank you for joining me. And by the way, at no time do I want anybody to think that I am taking this pandemic lightly. I am not. I'm just not living in fear and hysteria like many, many people are. I mean, there are a lot of people just living in absolute fear, hysteria, and paranoia, like people walking down the street by themselves on the sidewalk with no one around wearing a mask. Hello. Or people, and now watch this. If you don't believe me, start looking. You won't have to look long. People alone in their car, all by themselves, nobody else in the car, windows rolled up, and they're wearing a mask. Why? Why? Fear. Hysteria. And I'm not making fun of them because I think it's sad. I think it's sad. But anyway, and I want to get away from that. I've pretty much stayed away from the whole COVID thing today. But Governor DeWine in his news conference, and you've noticed they're not daily anymore. And that's a good thing. There is no reason for daily news conferences. Here's how many people died. Here's how many people are sick. And there is no need for it whatsoever. Okay? So I'm glad that they're dumping the every single day news conferences. But today, the governor has announced a new initiative. And I'm not making fun of this, but they all have to have a name. You know, this Ohioans, stay safe, stay... Well, anyway, the new initiative is now called Ohioans Protecting Ohioans. Ohioans Protecting Ohioans. That's the new name of the new advisory. And it is moving... Well, in fact, let me read from the news release. Governor DeWine announced the advisory in his press briefing today, saying that the state, and I'm quoting, is moving from orders to strong recommendations. Folks, we're going in the right direction. We are. We are going in the right direction. The governor announced today that we are moving from orders, you will not, you will not, to strong recommendations. That's where we should be. Tell us what the experts are saying, and then let us, as individual citizens, this is what we do in America. Let us then determine the course of action. DeWine says the Ohioans Protecting Ohioans advisory is about learning to live with the virus. It is with us. It will remain with us, and we must do all we can to contain it and keep it from killing our fellow citizens. All right. I agree with that. And then the governor provided the following details on the advisory. The new advisory incorporates 6 feet of social distancing, a limit of 10 people for mass gatherings, frequent hand washing, other sanitizing efforts. Now, what I don't understand, and I haven't had time to research it, does that mean that the limit of 10 people for mass gatherings is a recommendation, or is it still a rule? And that, I don't know, and then a bunch of other stuff. Anyway, whatever the case, we're moving in the right direction, and that's good. That is good. This coming Thursday, you can eat inside a restaurant. There are restrictions, social distancing, capacity restrictions, and so on. But beginning Thursday, we will be able to eat actually inside. All right, here's what I want to get to. During the past administration, the social justice movement was given steroids. Social justice has been around for a long time, but under the Obama administration, those 8 years, the whole social justice phenomenon, the social justice movement, was given regular injections of encouragement from the government. And it's my contention, and it has been for years, that the whole social justice movement is destructive. It is not helpful. When the social justice movement that gained so much popularity under the past administration was all about reconciliation and unity and so forth. What was the result after 8 years of encouragement from the U.S. government? We were far more divided racially, economically, in every other way than before that administration came into power. It's true. And so I have been sounding a warning about the social justice movement for, oh my goodness, at least 20 years. Jim Wallace came to Columbus several years ago and hosted a big social justice gathering at one of the largest churches in Columbus. And I was a very outspoken critic on the air of the whole meeting, the whole deal, and oh my goodness, did I stir up a hornet's nest. I won't mention the church because it's not my intent to attack anybody, but the pastor, one of the better-known pastors in the city, called me and screamed at me over the phone. Yeah, that whole social justice, we're all about love. Don't buy it for a minute. I was called every name in the book because I wouldn't get on board on the whole social justice bandwagon. I just wouldn't. And there were a whole bunch of people wanted to get me kicked off the air because I was, well, anyway. So I have a long track record of being critical of the whole social justice movement. Now, I hope I have a better track record of pleading for racial reconciliation, racial unity, but not by the guilt, shame, and condemnation that comes with the whole social justice thing. Now, why did I even bring this up? Because of a statement of lament from prominent members of a huge megachurch down in South Carolina. And I'll read portions of it for you when we return, because I want to expose the counterproductive aspects of this whole social justice thing. Almost everything that they promote actually results in the opposite effect. I'll explain when we come back.
today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
I have desperately tried through the years to teach a whole bunch of principles on this program. The difference between the left and the right, liberals and conservatives. And one of those principles, like when it comes to legislation, if the liberal left presents a piece of legislation, look at the title. All pieces of legislation have a name. They come up with a title, all right? If it is being presented by the liberal left, take a look at the title of the legislation. You can be absolutely assured that the actual purpose of the legislation is the opposite of the title. Like if it's about non-discrimination, the whole purpose of the piece of legislation deemed non-discrimination is to discriminate against a certain group of people, usually Christians or conservatives. Well, anyway, it's true in the social justice movement as well. Concerning racial reconciliation, most of the social justice movement has this premise concerning race, racism, race relations, racial reconciliation. These principles. If you are white, you are guilty, you are a racist, whether you know it or not. If you're white, you're a racist. That's just the way it is. Well, I don't think I'm a racist. Well, you are, because you're white. If you are black, on the other hand, you are beat down, abused, and unable to help yourself. That's just it. If you're black, you don't have the ability to help yourself. You need the government. You need something else. Just because you're black, you don't have the ability to help yourself. So if you're white, you're a racist and guilty. If you're black, well, you're just beat down, underprivileged, and you can't help yourself. So we're the government, and we're here to help you. Now, that brings me to this statement from members of the Summit Church. And I want to make this clear. This is not the official statement of the leadership of the church. This is the church pastored by J.D. Greer, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is a statement by key members of the church, some pretty key, powerful, influential members of the church. But again, I want to make it clear that this is not the official statement from the church. And let me get into this, and I'll provide some commentary along the way. And my contention is this 8-page statement of lament concerning the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. This is the young black man down in Georgia that was chased by two white guys and then shot and killed. And it certainly seems like in cold blood. That's the way it seems. And if that is true, it's horrible. It's terrible. And the father and son that did this should be prosecuted to the absolute fullest extent of the law. And I mean the fullest extent of the law. All right. So this is a lament. And it begins, to our fellow members of the Summit Church, as white American Christians, we offer the following lament as a response to the tragic murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Now, let me just stop right there. As white American Christians, we, and the Summit Church is a multiracial, multi-ethnic church. It is very, very, very much an integrated church. And they work very hard on being a multiracial, multi-ethnic church. And yet, these key members of the church take it upon themselves to say, as white American Christians, Why do they speak for all white Americans? Anyway, as white American Christians, we offer the following lament as a response to the tragic murder of Ahmaud Arbery. It is our intent that this statement would show God's anger towards racism and injustice. A hallmark of the social justice movement is incredible self-righteousness. We are looking down our long Pharisaical nose at anybody who does not understand social justice as we do. Listen to this. It is our intent that this statement would show God's anger towards racism and injustice. God has no problem with doing that himself. It goes on. Our grief over our own sinful complicity in racism. This corporate guilt thing. Again, it assumes that if you are white, you are a racist. If you are right, you are complicit in racism. It is a mass condemnation of all white people. That's not right. How does implying that an entire group of people, because of their color of their skin alone, are racist? Now, a black person who is struggling with relationship with other white people or other colored people, a person who is struggling with that, how is this statement, hey, we white people are all racist? How is that going to help a black person understand how to interact with other white people or whatever? Our grief over our own sinful complicity in racism and our solidarity with our brothers and sisters of color. All right. That is dividing white and people of color. Us and you. Us and you. We're guilty. You're not. Us and you. So I'm in the first paragraph of this lament that is supposed to bring about racial reconciliation, and already we see these self-righteous white people emphasizing the divide. Rather than beginning on equal ground, hey, we who are followers of Jesus Christ are all redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus doesn't see the color of our skin. We are one in Christ. They begin from a position, not of unity. They begin from a position of division. But such is the case of much of the social justice movement. We'll come back. I'll spend just a little bit more time with this and then move on. We'll be back.